The views and opinions expressed by the guests, callers, and hosts on this and all Rents Radio Network programs do not necessarily reflect or agree with those of the network, its commercial sponsors, its radio station affiliates, or internet broadcast platforms. In these controversial times, we believe the First Amendment and freedom of the press are absolutely essential to the survival of our nation. Thank you. And now, enjoy the program.
That means the weekend is here, and that means out here it's going to be over 100 degrees again. This is getting to be really silly. Of course, the people in Texas have the real issue to deal with, and that's the hurricane. So good luck to all of you down there. Don't be heroes. Get the hell out. It's not going to be good from what we can see. We are going to talk about many things tonight, as we usually do on Friday nights, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday as well. So glad you're along, and let's say first hello to our resident organic, well, he's a real interesting man, Mr. Dean Henderson. Hello, Dean.
Hey, how you doing, Jeff?
I'm good.
Putting it mildly, huh?
Yeah, well, you're our resident house organic liberal, but you're not a liberal. You're a very intelligent, pragmatic American patriot, and
well,
I make a big distinction with that. I don't like labels.
Thank you.
So
yeah, no that's me neither. We gotta not pick a side.
That's it. Thank you. That's the trick.
No, don't pick a side. They're both bad.
Stay fluid and stay healthy stay free.
Yeah.
The latest is, and this is the way I see it. I don't know. I'd like to hear your views, but it looks very much to me like the military-industrial-congressional media complex has taken full control of the White House and the Trump administration. Trump is now but an orange hamster in a cage. He is surrounded by the generals. This is the night of the generals, okay? We've got General Kelly, who today got rid of another one, Sebastian Gorka, kicked him out. They're saying he resigned, but Gorka won't quite go that far. So obviously, Kelly is continually restricting Trump. In fact, I ran a story yesterday that said Kelly now determines what the president sees and what he doesn't see. That's General Kelly for you, the chief of staff, okay? The generals. Then we have Mad Dog Mattis, general number two. And then we have General Dunford, the JCS chief. And then we have the biggest traitor of them all, General McMaster, the never-Trumper who purportedly briefs George Soros. It doesn't get any greasier than that. That's how it looks to me. How do you see it?
Yeah, it's the same stuff going on. I mean, they're just, yeah, I mean, that's just how it works. I mean, you don't really think the President of the United States has any power, do you? Because they never do. And
no, they never do.
They have any inkling at all that you're going to do something that goes
But now we can see his controllers front and center in our faces.
Yeah,
it's the generals, folks.
They had to bring him in. And on the now, but on the other hand, one thing that happened this week that was a good thing was Trump dressing down Pakistan a little bit in that Afghanistan speech.
That could be dangerous, can't it?
Well, it could be, but they need it. And if we're going to go after terrorism in a real way, then we have to go after Pakistan, because that's the incubator. That's the Aga Khan Foundation. That's where the British set up their Islamist experiment when they carved Pakistan out of India in 47. So Aga Khan, he's a racehorse owner. He lives in the south of France in a state near the Rothschilds. And he runs this Aga Khan Foundation. And that's where all this Islamist stuff, Wahhabism, all this stuff came out of. And so Pakistan is the epicenter of terrorism. And, you know, but yet every U.S. president, Democrat, Republican, nobody has ever criticized Pakistan. Why? Well, they got nuclear weapons. Well, big deal. We got 200 times more nuclear weapons. Who cares? You know, who cares? I mean, that's not the reason. The reason is because Pakistan, this is why this Awan guy that was helping Debbie Wasserman Schultz, he's a Pakistani, right? No, actually, he's a CIA cutout.
All three of them are, all the Awans.
Yeah, and they're saying, look, you can have your drug roots if you, you know, do this for us. And this is what, so what I'm wondering is, now that you criticize Pakistan, are you going to root some things out of the CIA that have kept other presidents from talking about Pakistan? Because it's all about the drug trade when it comes right down to it. It's all about the heroin trade. And that's why they don't criticize Pakistan, because they're helping to do that in a big way. They also created the Taliban with the Saudis funding it. Another interesting development this week, you had Kushner. I know he's a worm, but he goes to Qatar and has another meeting with Qatar after Qatar normalized relations with Iran the day before. But he had a friendly meeting with Qatar, did not go to Saudi Arabia this time. So this is, you know, I don't know about, I mean, I know what the handlers are there. Bannon was forced out, but is this what's going on? Is the Bannon exit kind of, is Trump playing them? Is he saying, oh, don't worry, I'll get rid of Steve Bannon, but yet he's going to still continue this non-interventionist foreign policy where he pulls all the NATO shit back from the Russian border by crushing and getting out of NATO? They're paying their stuff now, I'll tell you that. Is he also going to cut links with Saudi Arabia? This is what I'm seeing in Qatar. He's going after Pakistan. I mean, I'm not so sure what's going on. I actually had a more upbeat week about Trump than I've had in a while.
Uh-huh.
I know they're there. I know they're trying to do that. I know they're still trying to cook up this crap. But I think the Russia story is dead. The Democrats have just destroyed themselves completely by buying into this crap, this National Security Agency. I mean, it was done in 8 seconds. The download was done in 8 seconds. And it was the guy, they were there. They killed Seth Rich. They took the stuff, and they left, and then they blamed it on the Russians. And that's what happened. And Wasserman Schultz and all the cheating on Bernie and all that's tied up in that sea. And so they just destroyed themselves. But there's a reason why Adam Schiff, the California congressman, is leading this. Why? Because the Schiff banking family, Jeff, they're one of the eight families. They married into the Kuhn Loeb family.
Jacob Schiff, one of the wealthiest men of the last century.
Yeah,
his great-grandson... You know, his great-grandson, who did his great-grandson marry? Al Gore's daughter.
There you go. Exactly. Yeah, and that's, Gore's a globalist just like them. And so, you know, but this is all being just concocted, of course. We all, you know, we know that. These are lunatics. But, you know, so what they've accomplished, and they thought by doing this they were going to change Trump's foreign policy, which, as you know, that was the reason that I would, you know, I didn't vote for either of Clinton or Trump, but I would have voted Trump had I had a choice, because I thought, well, the foreign policy will be better. What I'm seeing in the last week, this still might be panning out. And I think he had to get rid of Bannon, it looks like, ooh, he dropped him over the side. He didn't really. They left on good terms. Bannon's going back to Breitbart. He'll keep fighting. He'll keep doing what he's doing. He'll keep supporting Trump. But it's almost like he's playing the generals, too. So who knows who's playing who here? Now, that's obviously what they're trying to do. But there was no bellicose rhetoric towards North Korea this week. You know, it's calmed down a little bit. And I was impressed that he criticized Pakistan. That's a big one.
You grab these little twinkles of light once in a while from Trump through the darkness, and I concur 100% on that. I was surprised.
Yeah,
Pakistan is the sewer of the planet when it comes to terrorism and evil, and their ISI is very capable. It's not the Mossad, but they're into everything. The Awan brothers are right there.
They wired the money to Muhammad Atta, the ISI did, at Standard Chartered Bank the day before this happened. Even if it was, even if Muhammad Atta wasn't there, he was part of it, and they wired the money to him, to Standard Chartered Bank, which is a Rothschild Oppenheimer bank in Dubai, which is another sewer that needs cleaning up. And then ISI chief was meeting in Washington with, who was it? There was two guys from Florida, the Senator Graham, I think, and one of the representatives, Porter Goss, who later became CIA director right after that.
That's right, Porter Goss. Now
and
I do.
So there it is, the sewer, and it's the sewer for British intelligence is what it is, because that's who's directing Pakistan. So again, is there some kind of upheaval going on against the city of London here by Mr. Trump is what I'm getting at. I'm getting at, is there some kind of big change in foreign policy that's really not going to make these people in London happy, who have been treating us like, you know, their little slaves for way too long, and we got to get out from under it. And I don't care who does it. I don't care if it's, you want to call it left or right, or I don't really give a shit. I just want to get out from under it. I want to tell the truth, and I want Americans to stand up, be revolutionaries again, and fight against the British Empire, which is quiet but still exists and controls our destiny. $23 trillion in debt. This is another thing coming up. And you know, they wouldn't pass this
September 15th.
This is going to be big. This is going to be a train wreck, which is a good thing. And maybe we can get into canceling the debt and things like this. You know,
It's the only way to handle it.
We don't have any choice.
We can't keep paying this. Belief that we're paying
$24 trillion. No, it's not. And not going to happen. And $24 trillion. Okay, so $18 trillion of that is to the eight families. It's not to China. It's not to Japan. It's not to Saudi Arabia. It's just propaganda. It's just lies. So we just got to cancel it. Everything we owe these families, cancel it. Throw them in jail. Get the gold back in Fort Knox from the Federal Reserve. Give the Germans their gold back. Give the Bangladeshis their gold back. They're holding all this gold there. It's just collateral.
Yeah, and the Federal Reserve Act has to go in the trash immediately.
Has to go in the trash with them. So I don't know. I'm probably being too optimistic, but I did see some things this week that I was kind of like,
yeah, you do once in a while. There are some things. I'm very concerned about Chief of Staff Kelly, General Kelly, came over from DHS. These are bad people.
Real bad guy. Yeah.
Here,
look at him and see that.
Oh yeah, get this.
You
see, look in his eyes. You'll see. See
his eyes. He's a lizard. He's a demon. Whether he conjured them up or they're from somewhere else, it doesn't matter.
It's right there.
He really does it.
General Kelly has now moved and taken full control of all the information that President Trump sees.
Yeah.
A new process laid out in two memos circulating in the West Wing this week is supposed to ensure that General Kelly vets everything that hits the president's desk. What kind of control is that? So when I say Trump is insulated and a hamster in a cage, if this in point of fact is what's going on, how can he adequately govern? How can he have a full, broad perspective of what's happening? It's not possible. You got Dunford, you got Mattis, you got Kelly, and you got that creep McMaster. Wow.
That's what they do, though. Those are the guys that work directly for the bankers.
Oh, yes.
You know? And the president never does. He's got to be charismatic. He's got to, you know, or she, they have to be public, appeal to the public. So they're that, you know, they're actors or they're actors, really. That's what they are. They're actors. And the real power behind the president is the advisors, and they make sure, and it's not just Trump. They've made sure since Kennedy was assassinated, because I guess they didn't have the right guys around him, did they? And they made sure since then to have all counsel and foreign relations people, CIA people, NSA people, crown people behind him, behind the president, whoever it is, Democrat, Republican, doesn't matter. So, you know, it's going to be that way, and maybe it's a sign of, you know, think about it this way, Jeff, maybe it's just a good sign that they had to get rid of these people, and they had to bring these people closer into Trump to handle him, to because it was just too hard, you know. So maybe that's almost a good sign, a sign
of desperation.
Well, if
it gets to be too hard, they'll send him off to Forest Lawn if it gets to be too hard.
Yeah, well, yeah, they will. And, I mean, that's what they did to Nixon. I mean, they surrounded him with, you know, Haldeman, Ehrlichman, Kissinger, Haig, all banker guys, right? And they handled him by videotaping him and impeaching him on stuff that was just because why? Because he wasn't controllable either. You know, he didn't have my kind of politics, but hey, he did some weird stuff. He started the EPA. He put in price controls when the oil companies started gouging us after the 73 embargo. Unheard of. That's like a Hugo Chavez socialist move, and Nixon did it.
Uh-huh.
And he took us off the gold standard.
Uh-huh.
You know, that had to piss off all the right-wing Goldwater people, right?
Sure.
He just did all this stuff and didn't, you know, they didn't like it, and they took him out. And so that it's just, you know, how controllable is Trump? And that'll be, you know, of course, if he's not controllable enough, they'll do something. But that's why if he's going to do something, if anybody's going to do something, you know, they better do it fast and they better be swift.
Oh, we're almost out of time. Chief of Staff. Chief of Staff. Chief of Staff determines everything Donald Trump sees and is given to consider. That's it.
Okay.
All right. Now, McMaster, Council on Foreign Relations member, reports to George Soros. Give me a break.
Yep.
So who's in charge here? How can Trump be in charge when he's surrounded by these people? Yeah,
we know who's in charge.
We know exactly who's in charge.
And that's the thing. And you know, Council on Foreign Relations, that's where the bankers and the CIA, that's the nexus where the intelligence community and the bankers meet. And you can look at it, and you can look at who's members and who goes to their son will be in the high-level CIA agent, next thing you know, or a high-level CIA agent, his son will be in the Council on Foreign Relations. But that really is, seriously, the way they keep a handle on all presidents and all policy is Council on Foreign Relations. And, you know, their publication, Foreign Affairs, you can't forget, is the most widely read publication on Capitol Hill by all members of Congress. I mean, they read it like it's the Bible, and that's what they put out once a month.
Well, it's their playbook.
Basically saying this is what we're going to do. I mean, and it's their playbook. And you know, nobody knows how nefarious. I mean, it was George Pratt Schultz. You know, that was his middle name, Pratt. And that's where they meet is Pratt House in Washington, D.C., and the Pratt family, Pratt and Whitney, you know, it's a whole family. I mean, it's oligarchy. It's oligarchy. Okay, that's pretty, you know, as plain as it gets. It's an oligarchy, and they want to maintain control. They do feel it slipping, and they're a little panicked. They don't know what to do. There's a lot of other countries that aren't in our situation where things look so dire because they have such huge control over us. But even in our country, you have to remember how many people are waking up, and you have to look at Venezuela, and you have to look at the war in Syria. It's over. I mean, if Hillary Clinton was in there, we'd still be fighting.
Yeah.
We'd still be arming some new rebel group, right? So there's another one for Trump.
God,
we're
yes.
out of there.
Yeah.
We get, you know, we're like, we surrender, basically. I mean, he had to. The Russians won.
Well, they're building a new base in northwest or northeast Syria. They say they're going to be there in perpetuity, but they're not going to be in control of much. They'll be there. They'll have a presence. They'll be supporting the Kurds. Now, what I'm curious about is they had somebody blinked somewhere. Kim has never backed down from anything. His rhetoric is generally right on the same course. We have changed in the last week our rhetoric. That's clear.
Yeah.
I don't know what's going on, but there's something afoot. Now, are they going to crank up the next one? Will it be Iran next? Are they going to move Ukraine into the crosshairs of the mainstream lying horror media? Who's going to be next? If North Korea is allowed to slink its way into the sidelines and the mists, who's going to take his place? We got several candidates.
They'll try something. They have to try something.
Oh, you got to have an enemy. You got to have the people
debt,
afraid.
You know, and the debt ceiling's coming up, and the stock market.
It's coming up twice. It's coming up September 15th and in December.
Mm-hmm. There you go. And this time, I think it's going to be a different outcome. And the bankers are real nervous about that because they have to keep lending us money, keep us from getting further in debt, keep us crippled, basically, so we can't be, realize the potential.
77 cents on the dollar, every tax dollar, 77 cents goes to debt service.
Yeah, that's the main reason they have to pass it. People don't realize it. The main reason it has to pass, of course, you know, has to pass. That's the bankers. You know, that's the way they push the propaganda. It has to pass, or we're in dire. It's because if it doesn't pass, they don't get their interest. They don't get their interest.
And that's all we're paying. We're not paying principal.
Yeah. In other words, we default on government bonds is what that means. We default on government bonds because that's all government bonds are, is debt to the eight families, mostly. You know, 18 of the 24 trillion, that's what
you
it is,
are
government
so right.
bond.
Yeah.
And so that's what that means. We would default then on government bonds. It could be the best thing we ever did. Interest rates would go to the moon. If you're a saver, you're going to get 20% on your little checking account now. Yippee! You know, if you're a borrower, well, you kind of get what you deserve because you shouldn't have been living so high and thinking, you know, I mean, really, that's the way I look at it. They've been coddling borrowers and spend, run up your credit card. It's the American way. No, it's not the American way. The American way is to be frugal and thrifty and work hard and pay as you go with cash. That's the American way. And anybody who says different is from
sure
a different
hell
planet
used to be.
And not from this country anyway.
No
but that's
plastic
the way
cards.
It is now. But it ain't a very American thing, if you ask me. So that's all going to come to a screeching halt if that happens. Interest rates will skyrocket. The dollar will get hit, but if you're saving enough money, you'll make up for it with your 20% interest. Don't worry. And, you know, it's going to be fine. But that's coming. And then, you know, like I say, dollar's at an all-time high. It's going to crash. And so they are desperate, Jeff, to get another war going.
They have to. They have no choice. It's the only way they know to get out of it. It's the only way. Yeah.
Yeah. And so that's why, you know, I don't know what's going on in North Korea. I think probably it was something to do with the threats that Trump made to China about, you know, let's investigate. They filed an official complaint with the WTO against Chinese trade practices.
Right.
And at that point, the Chinese probably, you know, got on their knees and groveled and said, okay, we'll talk to this guy over here in North Korea for you. I'm guessing is what happened. Also, you haven't heard, you know, this, like I said, the Russian storyline is sort of just fading out. I think. I don't watch mainstream media. Maybe I'm wrong. But it seems to me like.
I'm not seeing much about it. I don't watch it. I look at it on the internet.
They're kind of like putting their tail between their legs and going, God, I hope Seymour Hirsch doesn't get this stuff up. You know, it's like slinking away and hoping it'll go away. So there's no more lever on Trump that way, see? There's no more lever on him anymore, you know? And, so, you know, I don't know. Maybe it's actually settling into despite Kelly, despite McMaster, despite their attempts to control it. I don't know. We'll see. We'll see what happens.
I hope you're right.
They're
going
to keep looking for a war, though. There's no doubt. I mean, you know, these guys always, like you said, it's part of their economic model to have war.
That is the template. Absolutely.
Yeah, it's a template.
Hold on a second. We'll be right back with Dean in just a couple of minutes. Okay, here's the latest. Kim and North Korea have launched 3 more missiles, apparently within the last few hours, and they are said to have gone into the Sea of Japan, and short-range missiles, not long-range, or allegedly ICBMs, but North Korea has fired 3, and the Americans are saying one of them blew up on the launch pad, and 2 others failed in flight. So the U.S. determination on this launch of three missiles is that they were all failures. Now, if one of them did blow up on the launch pad and two failed in flight, I think you can pretty well bet that American energy weapons are being used to knock these things down. We've got them, and that's the perfect laboratory to use them in. We won't admit it, but that's what's going on. Anyway, there you go. That's the latest.
There you go. Well, didn't listen to the Chinese, but, I mean, the whole thing's just hyped up anyway. It's just it's, the guy's got really
there
nothing.
It is.
Everybody knows it. It's just a way to keep Americans diverted to and from you know, the oligarchy. We have to have an enemy. We have to have an outside enemy. We have to have somebody to hate. We have to have a villain. Didn't work with Maduro. He got his constitutional assembly through. And oops, so oligarchy got tossed out of there. So now then Pence goes to Colombia right away to meet with somebody there and are cooking something up. But, you know, they're just scrambling all the time to try to basically turn back history, turn back time, turn back awareness. This election did a lot to turn back awareness. I don't know if you've noticed it, but it just seems like many people took a big step back in terms of like the big stuff, you know, the big Illuminati banker stuff, the Federal Reserve stuff, you know, and then they kind of went withered into their little sides again, you know, I'm on this side, I'm on that side, you know, and it's just
they became rather stuff, right? Infantile about things again,
yeah,
rather than
really
intellectual.
Stuff.
Yeah.
Really infantile. And whiners, the whiners came out on the left, the racists came out on the right. And it's just the big picture just went away, and that's what we got to recover. So we got to have unity, we got to have consciousness again. We got to move forward, and that's they know these things. They know about it. It's all energy. Everything's energy. So they use this election to do just that, to shut down the consciousness that was building against them, to take their power away. And we were almost there, and we'll get back there again. No matter what happens, no matter if they try to blow this thing sky high tomorrow, we'll still get back there.
Mm-hmm.
It's not going to go back. I mean,
no, they've got these four or five major noise channels. All right, Iran, Ukraine, North Korea, and they just Eastern Front in Europe. They just Syria. They reach over and they turn one up and they turn it down. Then they go to another and turn that up.
Yeah.
So whose turn is it next? The media is just there to carry out the policy of the whole thing of mind control, psyop propaganda.
Yeah.
That's what they do.
That's what it comes down to.
That's all it is.
Keep us in fear. Keep us have an external enemy.
Keep us in fear. Keep us in debt.
Keep us in debt. Yeah, willing to pay for the crap and the military and all this stuff.
That's right. That's
exactly.
Right. Remember, though, what they do to people who are under great stress. They give them things that are basically drugs, sports. Rock and roll. People go to that. They go to their sports team and they put this other stuff away. They don't have to look at the big picture anymore, as you say. They keep it really compartmentalized. This is the average person now. They keep it real simple. They watch it on CBS, so it's got to be real. And my God, it's just, anyway, that's the way it is. Nothing's going to change it. The control is so massive.
Yeah.
These kids are born into it.
Massive, but you know it's not insurmountable either, and it's not insurmountable.
No, we need a leader, and we need access to the media, though, Dean. And I don't know if we can do it on the internet. I'd like to think we could, but not the way Google's been. You see the censorship coming down now.
Oh yeah,
the First Amendment
is
being ground up and spit in our faces.
Oh yeah, I know all about it. They crashed and deleted my website, 3 years ago, if you remember. So I know all about it.
Oh, that's right.
NSA, and I was, but I know they're doing it to other people now, and I know YouTube channels being taken down and all this stuff. And
they also reduce the, let's say you're looking at your site ratings. Look, they got algorithms now. A lot of you type in your name, they'll keep you down. They'll put you into a downward.
Yeah, they do.
They've suppressed my numbers for so many years now, it's not even funny.
I know. They do the same kind of stuff to me all the time. But it only means you're a threat, and it only means you should keep doing what you're doing, because they have to expend a lot of resources to do what they're doing and to keep us down. And I think they're having to expend more all the time. And they know the end is nigh, and they are desperate, and they want a war, and they have to turn a propaganda. That's why they did ISIS. It was such a mind fuck. I mean, it was just, it's Project ISIS. It's Project Al Qaeda. You know, there was no Al Qaeda. There's no ISIS. It's a CIA program, M16 program, MI6 program. That's what these things are. They're psyops. And of course, then we're supposed to hate Muslims and immigrants and all this that comes with it and divide us further. further from each other, whether it's along religious lines or whatever it is, color lines, race lines, gender lines, you name it, divide and conquer, name of the game, baby. That's why don't pick a side. You know, and
as soon as you pick a side, you're labeled.
As soon as you pick a side, you're an idiot, really, because, you know, you're buying into divide and conquer. You're enabling the Illuminati's divide and conquer strategy by doing that, by picking a side, by saying, I'm with this side, you know, and I'm an idiot, just like this whole side is.
My club's better than your club.
Every single one of them's a freaking idiot. Yeah. So, I mean, you just got to be autonomous, think for yourself. You know, like we talked about last time, be proactive, not reactive. It's about your own consciousness, your own energy, and keeping that where it needs to be. And then you can change other people. But if, you know, if you're going to go the other way, which unfortunately a lot of people are very reactive, and the internet makes it worse, and the news media, of course, but you know, a lot of people don't even watch that stuff anymore. I think the young kids, they don't even watch CBS Evening News anymore.
No, the major networks are in decline in the numbers game.
Yeah, they are in decline. Newspapers are in decline, and that's a good thing at that level.
So what are they doing? They're penetrating the internet on every possible opportunity that presents itself.
And exactly. That's exactly what they're doing, and they're going to war with the people on the internet who, because of the internet, ironically, even though it was always their weapon, it's just like they think they got a handle on all this stuff, but do they? You know, we'll find out in the end, because, you know, as many negative things as there are about the internet, it did allow you, it did allow me to get our word out, and the people we have on and you have on to get their word out. And they didn't really, I don't think they really expected, they think people are just dumb. That's the whole ideology of these people. That's why they're the Illuminati, the 33rd degree, the 33 bones in our spine, and they're supposedly the head. They're the head of this, you know, they're the head and we're the
spine. I never thought
of
it that way. That's interesting.
That's their thing, not mine. So they're the Illuminati, the illuminated ones, the ones that get to decide. Why? Uh-huh. Because we're all a bunch of dumb goyim. Just like the Huffington Post headline, Goy Gone, you know, I'm Bannon. And
how outrageous is it? Come on, man.
You know, really. But I mean, but anyway, that's where we're at. And so that's who they are. And they think of us that way. So the trap we can't fall into is to start thinking of the average person like that, too. Like, oh, there's no hope. You know, there's no way we're going to. Doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if there's hope or not. Hope's just a word. It's nothing. But it is faith within yourself. You know, you're God, your creator, you're good, you're good. Goodness, whatever that is, whatever motivates you that way right now, hold the pole. Just hold that, man, and just hold it inside. And just don't be cynical about the actions of others. I do it too, but it's hard. But we got to guard against it because that's their ideology. They're the ones that think we're all a bunch of stupid goy cattle. You know, I don't think that about people. I think people have potential. They can do things. We just have to get these devices out of their hands. We have to continue to rail against that. We have to rail against the things that are keeping them down, which we try to do. But there's always going to be, whenever it happens, and it may not be for 1,000 years, who knows, but there's always going to be, I think there's always going to be justice in the end of things. And I think even in life, if you understand instant karma, you know, like if you do the right thing, your life gets easier. Mm-hmm. Every second that happens, your life gets easier. I've seen it in my life. I mean, over and over and over, you know. I've seen I got a good life, man. I must be doing something right. You know, people say that. It's like an old saying, but it's kind of true. It's like, well, yeah, maybe you probably are doing something right. And then days when I'm screwing up, things don't go good. Why? Because I'm not doing the right thing. You know, and it's just that simple. If we just can just take...
You have to bring yourself into focus with your core.
Focus.
If you're not there, then you're fragmented and you don't have a good life.
Which is unfortunately where most people are at right now. Because they're just bombarded with information. And it's mostly lies, you know.
Mostly lies. Thank you.
And designed to schism their brain and their soul and the important things.
Well, you said the key thing earlier was get that thing out of your hand. That's almost going to require surgery here for most people.
I know.
I ran another story this week about smartphone addiction. It's a compulsive, absolutely devastating addiction.
Yeah. At least they're calling it that now, you know, and that's the thing. That's why I say good, because you know, for the longest time, nobody would even admit it. It's like trying to take a whiskey bottle away from a drunk, except way harder, I'm finding out.
It's true.
It's way harder than that. It's more serious than alcoholism or being a heroin junkie, way more serious addiction. But at least they're calling it that now because it's an epidemic. And it's really, you know, whatever's going on, you know, out there in the cosmos, whether Nibiru is near it or where, you know, there's all kinds of possibilities, but something is trying to take people to the dark side, okay? I'm just going to say it flat out, and that's part of it, is the technology, which is alien technology. The whole circuitry thing came from Roswell, and our computers themselves, yep. We wouldn't have them.
Yep.
That's why we didn't have them until, what, the 80s, because this is all reverse-engineered alien technology. It's not designed for us. We're humans. We're not meant to really deal with this stuff even, you know. And it's going to take you to the dark side, ice cold, no emotions. Just sad all the time, just, you know, reactive all the time, reacting to everything. And we're not meant for it. And so it's a huge addiction. We got to call it that. There are some signs that people are seeing it, some people, but it's, man, it's pervasive and it's everywhere. Everywhere. Google's giving away, you know, free whatever to Sri Lanka so they can map their whole country. Free internet to everybody in Sri Lanka. Yeah, that's what it is. So they can map their whole country and put cell towers all across their whole country, you know. And so
they're going to put up 80-some satellites and Wi-Fi the planet here. That's in the works. That'll happen pretty soon. There'll be nowhere you can go. There's nowhere to hide.
Yeah.
They'll have you everywhere. Doesn't matter where you are. They'll GPS you if they need to. Sure.
Yeah.
If the technology is, you think about the technology, if it were only being used for good, wow.
Yeah, maybe. Now, I sometimes wonder about that even, you know. Jerry Mander, he wrote this really good book.
I used to have him on the program.
Okay, really nice. Well, he wrote that book, The Seven Arguments Against Television, you know, and his argument, one of them was that, you know, no, it's not just what's on television, it's just television. You know, because you're sitting there.
The message is the medium.
The message is the medium. You're not reading a book, which requires thought, you know, which requires, you know, your mind has to work. You're just sitting there taking this stuff in. And I guess, you know, I mean, I think
you're not even considering it, Dean. You're not passing judgment. You're not evaluating it. It just flows in because you're in an altered state.
Yep, and like you pointed out with the internet, it's even worse because then it's interactive and then it's click, 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 and you're still just taking it in, but you're click, click, click. So somehow you think you have control over it, but you really don't.
Interesting.
So I'm not even sure you could use this technology. Well, we're doing it, though, aren't we? I mean, I think we're doing it.
We have some really wonderful people listening, and unfortunately, when I go out and look around, you go out every day. Our friends go out, you go out, you look in people's faces. Well, we talked about Kelly. Well, he's evil, but look in most people, many people, you look in their eyes, and lights are on, and nobody home.
Nobody home. I know, which is why I don't go out much. I go to town like once
a
week.
Me, that's about me, yeah.
Yeah, and that's a good idea. There's nothing wrong with that. It doesn't mean you're antisocial. It just means you're sane and you want to stay that way because there is something going on and they are taking people. So we just have to keep plugging away, stay home, and keep railing against the technology, railing against the bankers, and railing against what keeps us down and hope that people wake up. And if they don't, I don't know.
If they don't, it was a good run while it was good.
Yeah. It was a good run, and you're doing the right thing, and that's all you can do. And so that's the way I look at it. Like whatever happens,
you can feel good about your efforts always, Dean, and those who are trying. Sure. We've done our best, and
you too, Jeff, for sure.
Thank you.
You've done your best, and then some.
Well, we know we care. We wouldn't be here if we didn't care. We wouldn't be here.
Exactly.
That's simple.
Exactly. We wouldn't even.
Remember what they do at Bohemian Grove? The cremation of care. They hate care.
Empathy. Those kind of things. Yeah. Forget about it. Yeah, that's right. So you know, it's a warrior mentality. You don't bank on winning or losing. You bank on being in the game, and you bank on doing the right thing. And you know, that's what counts. I mean, it doesn't even matter if we win or lose at one level at all, because you know, there's instant karma. And you know, if you just can focus on, you know, your own stuff, keep it good, then you're gonna be fine. And no matter what happens, you're gonna be fine because some creator.
That's really a wonderful thing to say. You know? No matter what happens, if you're right with yourself, you're gonna be fine. Okay.
That's right.
That's the truth.
The world ends tomorrow. It doesn't matter because as long as what matters is that you're right with yourself when the world does end or doesn't end. Doesn't even matter.
Yeah.
You know, or we all go to martial law FEMA camps. Well, you can still be the guy at the FEMA camp helping other people. Or you can be the guy taking other people's food. or being a cannibal, I guess. But, you know, you can always make that choice, man. You can always decide who you're going to be. And you have to know that, and that's what I'm afraid people are losing the ability to even know, that they can decide, that they can be who they feel they
are. Oh, they want to take, oh, come on, they don't want us to think for a moment we have that kind of control. No,
that's the thing.
Did you see the story yesterday? I ran it yesterday. I read part of it last night. This is true. In South Africa now, there's an epidemic of cannibalism. People are admitting that they've been eating human meat. One guy turned the way this was found out is that one guy turned himself in. He said, "I'm really tired of eating human flesh." Now this is very concerning to me. This is not the direction we're supposed to be going. And I don't care what color these people are. It's just not a human behavior. That doesn't work.
No, it's not.
Anyway, it's crazy out there. Have you been to any? This is always kind of fun. Any movies? I've seen any movies that you recommend? There, you know, there are. Whenever you ask somebody, they can't remember.
But there are a few.
There's
not very many.
No.
Well, I still like that movie Cell. If you haven't seen that, it's about the power of like the cell phone stuff over us and. And that's a really good one. And then Tom Cruise did this alien movie. I don't usually like Tom Cruise, but this was actually a really good movie. And I'm trying to remember the name.
The one where he woke up over and over again the same thing, and he kept working his way further along that timeline. He'd get killed, and then he'd wake up the next morning.
I don't think so. He's off in space. It's like a futuristic thing where they're out there colonizing these planets, and he's working for the bad guys, but he thinks they're the good guys, and then he finds out they're the bad guys, but he also finds out they're aliens and stuff.
Huh.
And it's really...
I don't know. When did that come out?
I think it was like 2012, but I've just only seen it about a year ago. But to just Google Tom Cruise. Did I say Tom Hanks? I meant Tom Cruise. But Tom Cruise...
No, I don't care for him either, but I guess once in a while the law of averages works and you come up with a good script.
And that's a good movie. Other than that...
Cell, huh? Okay, tell us about Cell again. How old is that?
Well, Cell is... John Cusack is in that, and it's basically... It starts out, these people are in this airport, and of course everybody's on their cell phone, you know.
This is how long ago was this released?
Last year or 2015.
Okay, all right.
And all of a sudden, man, everybody that's on their cell phone just goes nuts and just, there's some noise in the phone and they all freak out. And
all right, don't ruin the plot. I want to see it.
Anyway, that's the start, and it goes from there. Yeah, you'll love it. It's really good. And then there was another one with Lawrence Fishburne. It was kind of a futuristic... thing where the elite were hiding all this food in these shelters, and it was the same kind of thing. They were giving people these free cell phone services, free internet, all this stuff for free, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was the same kind of thing. They were going to plan to like zap everybody once they had the food in the shelters, and that's they're all these three came out. Maybe they all came out about 2015. I'm thinking. But see, there is some people, even in Hollywood, that know what we're talking about how bad this is, this addiction, and how nefarious it is, what it's being used for. And, I mean, you know, that's
there's a new one.
Movie stars.
There's a new one that looks pretty good. It's called Marjorie Prime.
Okay.
And I saw the preview of it, and it has to do with an older woman, and she loses her companion, apparently. And he comes back through, this is a few years in the future, I guess. And they have software then that can actually recreate somebody in a hologram. And apparently before you die, you download your consciousness or something like that. So the guy is sitting there in the living room. He's dead. And they're having this relationship, talking, conversations, all kinds of... Anyway, it looks very interesting because I think we're going there. The idea of downloading your fully intact... Yeah. Complete life experience and consciousness into a computer.
Yeah.
I think they're probably already doing it.
The transhumanist agenda.
That's it.
And of course, they put the movies out to sort of promote that even and make it all fuzzy. But it'll be interesting to watch that. Yeah, that's what you got to watch for.
Marjorie Prime.
You know those guys? What's his name? Yuri Dalbenko. You know Yuri?
Yes. Yeah, he's vanished. I don't know what happened to him.
I don't either, man. He was going to publish my big old book at one time. He flaked on that and everything. But whatever, that's what he did. He did, in the end, the last thing I knew he was doing movie reviews. But all the reviews were pretty much keep it in mind that they're just doing mind control on us, you know.
Uh-huh.
And so his review would be like, "Oh, this is the mind control they were trying to accomplish with this movie," you know.
Yeah.
You know.
Yuri was a good writer. He put some good stuff out. I don't know what happened to him. He used to be a guest.
I don't either. I haven't heard from him in years.
Yeah.
I don't know either. But an interesting kind of angle. Because that's mostly what movies are. They're just another form of propaganda. But once in a while, yeah, you'll get a renegade.
Well, this is an indie film, Marjorie Prime.
Yeah,
so
there you go. Yeah, they're never popular, those ones. They never let them get popular. But
no.
But that'll be good. Marjorie Crime, okay?
Marjorie Prime. Yeah.
Prime.
Yeah, 91% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Prime.
We'll
see. Yeah, that's pretty good. Yeah, who knows?
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, Dean. You be good. Have a good weekend. Take care of yourself. Thanks for the contributions, as always.
You too, Jeff. Keep up the good work, man.
Okay,
thanks,
brother.
Thanks for having me.
You bet.
Take care.
See you.
Okay. Yep. Bye-bye.
And we will be right back with Hour 2.